right, thank you, brother. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like for you to turn to Psalms chapter 121. Psalms chapter 121, and we'll read the entire chapter, the eight verses that are there, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. If you've been with us over the past several Wednesdays, we've had a few interruptions here and there with different things going on, and then the rain that came and all this and that. But we've been going through a series called Sing for Joy, and I've really been encouraged by it. I have really enjoyed the study of Psalms, and it's been a blessing to my heart. I pray that it's been a blessing to you. And tonight, we're going to preach on a song for any day. We talked about a song for yesterday. We talked about one for today. We talked about one for tomorrow. And this is a psalm for any day. Any day that you're going through, anything that's happening in your life, you can go out and you can sing this wonderful psalm that's found here in Psalm chapter 121, where the Bible reads, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." You can be seated. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and I pray that the sermon will be a blessing to you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. God, we thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. We thank you, Lord, for those that you're touching their body, God. You're bringing healing to them. And Lord, we thank you for that. And God, we do ask you, Lord, to help us tonight to look to you in faith, believing that you are, Lord, the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. So, Father, help us, Lord, to look to you tonight in faith, believing, God, Lord, that you have placed us where you would have us to be in this stage of our life. And God, help us to look to you, Lord, in every area, with our marriages and our ministry, Lord, with our membership here at this church. May, Lord, you empower us. May you grant us wisdom and discernment, Lord, for the journey that is ahead. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, before I begin, let me ask you a question tonight. How many of you tonight will admit that you are optimistic? Raise your hand. All right, how many of you, that means the rest of you are pessimistic, right? Huh? You know what the difference is between someone who's optimistic and a pessimist is an optimistic person comes in shaking hands while a pessimist comes in shaking his head. And there are both groups within a lot of different churches. Well, you'll find out tonight that the guy that wrote Psalms 121, he is definitely one or the other here, and we're going to discover which one he is. But I heard about an optimistic person who was talking to a pessimistic person one time, and the optimistic guy said, "Boy, it sure is just a beautiful sunny day, isn't it? It's such a great day out. I just love the weather. Oh, the Lord's really blessed us today." Well, the pessimistic guy said, "Well, if this heat spell doesn't pass, it's going to burn up my garden, you know." 2 days later, the optimistic guy said to the pessimistic guy, he said, "Boy, isn't this rain just wonderful? I bet it's helping your garden and all this and that." And the pessimist said, "Well, if it doesn't stop raining soon, my garden is just going to wash away." Well, the next day, the optimistic guy came to the pessimistic guy, and he invited him to go duck hunting. He said, "Why don't you go hunting with me?" He said, "I bought myself an amazing dog. This dog can do things that no other hunting dog can do." He said, "Ah, I don't believe that. It's probably just a stupid old dog, but I guess I'll go with you anyhow." Well, they went out there, and the optimistic guy said, "I want you to keep your eye on my dog. When I shoot the first duck, I want you to watch what this dog can do." Well, sure enough, just about that time, there was a whole flock of them just flying right over. And he got his gun out, and he shot one, and one fell from the air, and it went right smack dab in the middle of the lake there in a bunch of mud. And he said, "Watch my dog." And there his dog took off, and the dog was running and walking on water. Well, it ran all the way across the lake, and it picked up that duck, and it ran all the way across the water again. And the optimistic guy said, "Hey, what do you think of my duck or my dog?" He said, "I told you it was a stupid dog. He can't even swim." Oh, there are some people that are just pessimistic. It doesn't matter what happens. They're always going to find fault. Well, I want you to know that Psalms chapter 121, whoever the writer may be here, he is definitely an optimistic individual. No pessimism with him at all. He's very optimistic. It's a song of deliverance that you can sing any day. As a matter of fact, Bible teachers tell us that this psalm was probably a pilgrim psalm. It was a psalm that was sung going to Jerusalem, and as they traveled to Jerusalem, they would sing for safety, and they sang along the journey, and they talked about the dangers in Psalms 21. He talks about God's going to keep him, and God's going to deliver him, and all this and that. As they sang along, they were probably thinking about the wild animals and the robbers and the heat strokes, as all implied in chapter 121, verses 3 and 6. But in verse 7 and 8, there is a promise of safety for the journey. And can I tell you tonight that along our road of life, there's a lot of things that's going to attack us. There's a lot of situations that we're going to come up against. But God has promised us safety for the journey. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is always with us. And so tonight, here's what we're going to do. I want you to look at Psalms 121, and I'm going to give you three pillars tonight to build your life upon. Foundational pillars. As a matter of fact, the psalm is divided up in three stanzas. And we'll see all three of these stanzas tonight in the divisions of our outline. But I'm going to give you three pillars that I believe that will build the foundation of your life during the storms of life. When things are bad and the situation seems desperate and there's despair in your life, you need some foundational theological pillars to build your life on. And the psalmist gives these to us as he sings about this song of deliverance. Well, first of all, here's the first one. You may want to write this down. When I am in need, the Lord is my provider. The psalmist writes about when I am in need, the Lord is my provider. And I can tell you tonight, God has promised us in his word that he would never leave us, say it with me, and never what? Forsake us. He is our provider. And the psalmist writes about this in the verses that lay before us in verses 3 to verse number 6. He says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Look at verse 1. I will lift up my eyes unto the hill from whence cometh my help. Watch this. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. When I read the Psalms, what the psalmist is doing here, he is telling us in times of trouble, God has always been there for me. But the psalmist had to learn this, just like you and I have to learn it. And I have found this out in my years of pastoring. I've been doing this for over 20 years now. And it seems like the psalmist has the same trouble that we have. That is, when trouble comes your way, you begin looking at the wrong place, at the wrong people, you're looking for the wrong help, and the psalmist had to realize that he had to quit looking at the wrong people and the wrong place. He needed to look to the one that was going to help him. And tonight, maybe you're going through a situation in your life and you've tried counsel from this person and you've tried counsel from that person. You've went to this place and to that place. Can I tell you tonight that the place that you need to run to is to the Lord? And it amazes me when people get in trouble and their life gets all out of balance. They don't come to church. They want to stay away from church. Don't run away from the source of your strength. You run to the source of your strength. And the psalmist had to learn that I tried everything but the right thing. I tried all the right places but the right place. I've talked to all the other people in the world, but I need to be talking to the one person that's going to help me. And what he found is that everywhere he turned, he was turning down a dead-end street. He was running into a wall. He wasn't finding help. He wasn't finding what he needed. And the psalmist tells us he was looking in all the wrong places. Basically, he is stating a question, then he answers it in verse number 1 and verse 2. He basically says this, I look to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No, my strength comes from God, who made the heavens and the earth. He's saying everybody else would run to the hills and they would try to find provision through the storms of life. They would look for help in the storms of life. He said, but the answer to my dilemma is not in what the mountain has to offer. Can I tell you, a lot of Christians think I need to be on the mountain all the time. Sometimes what you need is in the valleys of life. And sometimes we say, no, I need to be on the mountain where I can get a cool, gentle breeze and it will help me and I'll find shelter. Sometimes God wants you right out in the open terrain. See, it's not in the mountain. It's not in the valley. It's who's with you on the mountain and it's who's with you in the valley. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, I look to the mountain. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know, I am absolutely convinced that too often we as children of God, we look at the wrong places. We're looking for the wrong people. And the whole time God has the answers for us right here in the Bible. Can you say amen? Look in verse 2 what he says. He says, I'll lift up my eyes in verse 1. But verse 2 he says, my help cometh from the Lord, watch this, which made heaven and earth. Now I can't imagine anybody else under the sun that I would want on my side than the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Amen? You say, well, I need this denomination on my side. You don't need a denomination. I need this group of people on my side. I need this political party on my side. I need these people to rally with me. Who you need in your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in America today, we're so mixed up. We say, well, we're all divided. We're looking to the Republican Party. We're looking to the Democratic Party. I'm here to tell you, you know where we need to look? Not to the right and to the left. We need to look straight up. We need to look straight up to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask God to give us a sense of revival again. That's the person we need. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, under the sun, there's nobody else that I need, verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, and he's so powerful, and he's so majestic, and he has so much might that he actually made the heavens and the earth. The psalmist is saying that God is higher than the hills. He's saying that God is mightier than the mountains. He's saying God is greater than any general. I'm looking to God. He's the one that's going to help me. Can you say amen? You see, the Bible is replete over and over again about the strength of God working in our lives. Jeremiah chapter 32 verse 17 says it this way. It says, Lord God says, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Perhaps you needed to hear that tonight. There is nothing too hard for God. It may be too hard for the preacher. It may be too hard for the church. It may be too hard for the denomination. It may be too hard for the country. But it is not too hard for God. Jeremiah believed that. And I wish to God that we as children of God, we would claim that promise today and realize God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's absolutely nothing that he cannot do. The psalmist says here, he's my help. He's my strength. I'm looking to him. Can you say amen? Psalms 115 verse 3 says it this way, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Now, those of you that believe in the sovereignty of God, that ought to be your life verse. God is sovereign in the lives of men and women. And this verse proves it. For our God is in the heavens. It talks about his lofty position. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ is not cold and silent in a tomb? He's not like Buddha. He's not like Muhammad. He's not like Krishna. He's not like the other gods. He is alive and well. The gospel record is this, friend. He is risen. He is, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is risen. Can you say amen? And the Bible teaches us he is seated in the heavens. The Bible tells us here God's lofty position. Where is he at? He is in the heavens. But watch this. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. That is speaking of the sovereignty of God. God, that's a way of saying that God has his hand on the throttle. God's got his hand on the wheel. We may think that the government has their hand on the wheel. No, they don't. We may think denominations have their hand on the wheel. The unions may think they've got their hands on the wheel. But I'm here to tell you, friend, God has his hands on the wheel. And God has his hands on the throttle. The Bible says he does whatsoever he pleases. It's talking about the sovereignty of God. I'm going to say it again. There's nobody else under the sun that I'd rather have on my side than the Lord Jesus Christ, because when I am in need, the Lord is my provider. Psalm 16 verse 8 says it this way, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. The psalmist is saying whether it's a time of trouble or tragedy, God is always going to be our hope. He is there for you and I. He said, I will not be moved. God is telling us here through his word, the psalmist is saying, I've lifted up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. It's not in the mountains. It's not in the hills. It's not in what the world has to offer. My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. God is our provider. He is all powerful. You know, there's a little girl one time that learned this really through something that was very, very simple. She was a 4-year-old girl and she was very, very afraid of the dark. And her mom was preparing for bed one night and she was scared. There's a little noise going on outside. And she said, Mommy, can I crawl up into bed and can I sleep with you tonight? And she said, sure, your daddy's working late. Just jump up here and we'll lay down together. And so she crawled up in the bed and she laid down. She could see outside her mother's window. She seen the moon out there and it was a full moon and it was just as bright and just as big as life. And you know how little kids are when they crawl up into bed with you when your kids were little. They got a million questions before they go to bed, right? Well, she had that. She said, Mommy, she said, is that God's night light out there? And she said, yes, that's God's light out there. A few minutes later, she said, Mommy, is God going to turn that light out when he goes to sleep? And she said, well, darling, God doesn't sleep. God watches out over us day and night. And there was a long, silent, long pause. And finally, she just said, well, I guess there's no sense in both of us staying up. I'm just going to go ahead and go to sleep. Can I tell you, friend, there's no need for both of us to stay up. God's already awake. Let him take care of the problem. Can you say amen? A lot of times we have sleepless nights and we toss and we turn and we never trust the Lord. His light never goes out. He never slumbers, the psalmist says here in verse 21. He never sleeps. He never fails. He's always on time. As a matter of fact, verse 3 and verse 4 says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Aren't you glad that God doesn't take a nap and fall asleep? Aren't you glad for that? You know what? A few weeks ago, my daughter said, now, Dad, don't forget to pick me up. You know, you got to pick me up. I'll be out there to school at 3:30. I said, God, I'll be there at 3:30. Well, that morning I had got up at 4 o'clock to go to the hospital and I had come home just about probably about 2:30. I was going to run home, let the dog out and then run down there and go get her. Well, I took the dogs outside and I was like, well, I got a few minutes to kill here. And I just sat down for just a second. And before I knew it, I was absolutely raptured up into the third heaven. I mean, I was gone. I mean, I was snoring so loud, I think the neighbors heard me, you know. And I was sound asleep. I woke up and it was almost, 4 o'clock. It was almost 4 o'clock. Haley didn't have her cell phone. Let me tell you, that child is just like her mama. When I got there, her head was spinning and fire was coming out of her mouth. She's like, you know, where you been? I'm like, oh, I had something to do for the church and I was running a little bit behind. She's like, you've been sleeping. I see it in your eyes. She was mad. Aren't you glad, friend, that God doesn't sleep and slumber? He's not late. He's always going to be on time. When we're in a struggle, we don't have to worry that he's not there. He's always there. That's what the psalmist is saying. I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to worry about that. When he is your only help, the psalmist is saying, don't be afraid because he is all that you need. Can you say amen? God is there for you and I. The Bible says in verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Now that's just a fancy way of saying God's not going to allow you to fall flat on your face. God says, I'm watching you. And because God is watching you, he's not going to let you fall. Some of you here tonight, you're afraid to sign up for our Grow ministry. You're thinking, oh, I just don't know about knocking on doors and I don't know about making a phone call and inviting somebody to church. I don't know about writing a letter. You know, I'm afraid I'll misspell a word or this and that. And I don't know if I can do that, Brother David. I'm just so afraid. Listen, friend, listen, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ and you give God all the glory and you give God 110%, listen, he is not going to let you fall on your face. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 3, listen, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He's not going to let you slip. He's not going to let you fall. Why? Because the Bible says, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. He's got his eye on you every step of the way. Don't worry. Keep on walking. He's there with you. Can you say amen? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25 and verse 26, be not afraid of sudden fear. You ever had sudden fear where all of a sudden you're just, you know, maybe it was a bad phone call. The other day when I was with the Underwood family, I was glad I was there. It seemed like it was God's timing. I sat down there with Patricia for a little while, and she was there by herself, and the doctor just happened to walk in. And basically told him, said, listen, Dennis is very critically ill, and he's in bad shape. He's got multiple things going on. And I said, well, doc, can you help the family? Can you tell us a little bit? Because Patricia, she's just scared to death, you know. And the doctor said, well, Dennis could die before surgery. He could die during surgery. He could die right after surgery. Dennis is very, very, very ill. And when he said that, boy, I'm telling you, there was just a silence that was there. And I sensed the fear that actually came into the family. You ever experienced sudden fear? What do you do when you have sudden fear? What would happen if you were told today that your spouse may die? That your spouse is terminally ill? That your spouse has a serious cancer? How would you respond? We're faced with sudden fear. This is what the Bible is saying. Listen to what it says now. Watch this. This is good. The Bible says, be not afraid. This is for you, child of God. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. God's going to help you every step of the way. Through the pain, through the sickness, through the sorrow, God says, don't be afraid. My eye is watching you. His eyes are on the righteous. If God watches the little sparrow that's out there in the field, God's going to watch out over you. If God can take care of the lilies of the valley, God's going to take care of his bride, his church. This is what the psalmist is saying. He's optimistic. He's saying, my help doesn't come from what the world has to offer. It doesn't come from the mountains. It doesn't come from the valleys. My help comes from God. He's the one that made heaven. He's the one that created earth. And he will not let me fall on my face. Why? He never sleeps. He never slumbers. His eye is on the righteous. Can you say amen? When I need help, the psalmist is saying, the Lord is my provider. Not only does he say, when I need help, the Lord is my provider, but secondly, in the second stanza of the song, he is saying, when I am in trouble, the Lord is my protector. Not only when I need the Lord, he is my provider, but when I am in trouble, he says, the Lord is my protector. Look at verse number 5. It's a great verse. The Bible says, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thine, underline this, right hand. It's interesting that verse is a great verse. I'm going to try to pick the bone apart here for you a little bit and help you out. Verse number 5, that word keep there literally means to protect or to guard. The verse says, the Lord is the guard. The Lord is the keeper. The Lord is the protector. And notice how God guards us in verse 5. If he's going to guard us, he's the protector. Notice what he does. Look at verse 5. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. Now, I don't have to describe to you what a shade does for you in a very hot, difficult moment. Boy, on a hot Georgia day, boy, isn't it great to run into the shade. Boy, you try to find the shade, especially us bald guys. Let me tell you, us bald guys, it gets so hot there on top of our head, we can fry an egg up there when we're out in the sun. And when you go underneath a shade tree and you've got a glass of water, there's nothing more cooling and refreshing than that shade. God is saying, there's some hot, difficult moments in the kitchen of your life. There are some times where it gets stuffy. There are some times it feels like you're in the desert place. There are some times that it's going to be very difficult. But when it's hot and when it's humid and when it seems like your life is just going to melt,
God says, I'm your shade. I'm the one that's going to protect you. I'm the one that's going to keep the heat from penetrating your body. I'm the one that's going to help you in your time of need. Can you say amen? I can't tell you how many times God has been a shade in my life and my family's life. When it's been hot and miserable and dry, God comes over my life and God becomes a shade. God says, I'm your guarder. I'm your protector. I'm going to be your shade. Let him be that shade tonight. Let him hover over your life and give you exactly what you need. He says he's your shade. But notice this. He also says you're the shade, watch this, upon thy right hand. Now what's wrong with the left hand? Why does he say the right hand? Is the psalmist being prejudiced to lefties? Or is there something specific being said to us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit why the psalmist would say he's the shade, not on my left, he's the shade on my right. If you were to study some history, you would find that in ancient days, a soldier would carry his shield in his left hand. And his strong arm, usually being the right hand, he would carry his sword. And when he would go into battle, that shield was absolutely a precious commodity to him. It held off the fiery arrows. It helped him knock his opponent over and all this and that. But holding the shield protected this side. The side of the sword was always the vulnerable side of the soldier. He's got the shield protecting him here, but as he lifts his hand, there's always a vulnerable area. The psalmist is telling you and I that God is the shade on my right side. He's saying that God camps out in the vulnerable places of your life where you are very vulnerable. Those weak moments in your life, those areas where you're weak and you're not strong, God is camped out right there. And in the vulnerable areas of your life, he's a shade. He brings you protection. Aren't you glad that God takes care of us? Can you say amen? When I'm weak, the Bible says, he is strong. When I'm standing and I feel like I'm all alone, God is camped out right by my side and he is protecting me all the way in the vulnerable areas of my life. Where are you vulnerable at tonight? Perhaps it's in your mind. Perhaps you just can't help but click on a certain spot on your computer. Perhaps you're vulnerable in your speech. Perhaps you're vulnerable in your actions. Perhaps you're vulnerable with temptations from the opposite sex. Perhaps you're vulnerable by being filled with pride. Perhaps you're vulnerable in all these areas. God says for you, if you will trust me and you will look to me, verse 2, for help, because I've made heaven and earth, I won't let you fall on your face. I'm not sleeping, I'm watching you. And he says, I'm going to keep you because I am your keeper. I am the shade upon the vulnerable side. Tonight, I think some of you may need that. You need to claim that tonight. There's these weak areas in your life and you know that the devil tries to find his way and burrow into your life and your heart and your mind. Understand this. Claim the verse tonight for any day. It's a song you can sing any day. Not just a song for yesterday. Not just for one for today or tomorrow. It's a song for any day. Lord, you're a shield to me. God, you're there for me. You'll be the shade on my vulnerable side. You're going to protect me. Claim it in his name and receive victory. Can you say amen? I believe God does that for us. You know, I was reading of a missionary who was on his knees and he was praying, and there were tomahawks in the hands of the Indians already. They walked in with the tomahawks there in their hands, and they had all the intentions of murdering who was ever on the inside. When they peeped in, they lifted up the tent that he was in. They seen a man on his knees with his hands folded and his face was erected towards heaven, and he's calling upon God. That wasn't the thing that amazed them. What amazed them was there was a snake inside the tent. And the snake had crawled right across the heels of the man who was praying. And the snake lifted up its head in the position to sting. And then it lifted its head back down and it crawled its way out the tent. It would be years before David Brainerd, who was the man who was in the tent praying on his knees, would discover why he wasn't murdered that night by this Indian tribe. That they believed that the snake left
the room because that man was connected with God. Can I tell you today, friend, there's no telling what the world will see in us and through us when we yield ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the psalmist is saying this, when I am in need, God is my provider. When I'm weak and when I'm being tempted, God is there as my protector. He was for David Brainerd. He will be for you and I and countless others that come to him. God will never sleep. He will never slumber. He will camp out on your vulnerable side and he will be your shade. Can you say amen? Boy, that's good stuff tonight. I got to say amen to that. I'm so thankful that I'm a child of God, that God is with me. I don't know how a person can actually live their life out at all. You know, when I was with Marilyn the other day, and she'll probably share this with you at some point in time, maybe, I don't know, but I had a precious time with her, and it's amazing what God will show you when you're flat on your back. You know, you're there for 17, 18 days, you have nowhere to go, and the only thing you can look at is the ceiling. God begins to show you some things. And she said, Brother David, you see that little swab right there? You've seen them, little swabs they put in your mouth, had a little green sponge on it, had a little straw. She said, you see that thing right there? She picked it up and she said, you will never believe how amazing these things are. And I said, well, tell me about it. She said, I was so thirsty. That thing's been down my throat. My throat's all scratched. I've not been able to drink any water. And the first time they put that swab in my mouth, she said, these things, brother. She starts crying. She said, these things are amazing. She said, it tasted so good to me. She said, it was so refreshing just to have that little sponge. And she's in there just boo-hooing, you know. And I'm just sitting there just listening to her, just soaking it all in. She said, and God showed me something. She said, I thought about that sponge and how good it tasted and that water that was on my tongue. She said, and I thought about when Jesus asked for a drink of water on the cross. They took a sponge like that and gave him vinegar. And she said, oh, when I put that thing in my mouth and that water hit my tongue, she said, I realized how much suffering Jesus went through because he loved me. You know what, friend? God has an amazing way to show us he is your shade on your vulnerable side. When you're flat on your back, when you have nowhere to go, when you have nothing to do, God just comes in and shows, I'm your provider. I am your protector. I'm the one that will be here. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I don't know about you. I'd rather be a child of God than anything else. Can you say amen? You see, the psalmist says all these things. He's my provider. He's my protector. But he says, when I am tempted, the Lord is my preserver. When I am tempted, the Lord is my preserver. Look at verse 7 and verse number 8. He ends the psalm by saying this in the third stanza. As they sing, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. It's interesting, that word preserve there, see that in verse number 7? That word preserve there is the same Hebrew word as the word keep in verse 4, where verse 4 says, behold, he that guards Israel shall never slumber, shall never sleep. Now, verse 7, the Lord shall preserve. That is, the Lord shall keep. The Lord shall guard thee. God preserves us, doesn't he? God keeps us. These people that are running around today teaching that you can be saved one day and lost the next, that believes that you can send your salvation away, forfeit your salvation. They don't believe in eternal security. They have never read that verse. Look what the Bible says. The Lord shall preserve thee from evil. Watch. He shall preserve thy what? Thy soul. When you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is impossible for you to send your salvation away, to forfeit your salvation, or to lose it. Why? Because God is our provider. God is our protector. God is our preserver. It's in his power, not in my power, that I'm going to heaven. Can you say amen? So perhaps you're here tonight and you've been struggling with this thing. You know, am I saved? Am I not saved?
you know, can God keep me? Is he strong enough? Will he remember? Let me remind you this. God's not some old gray bearded man sitting on a rocking chair somewhere with a bad memory. He is God Almighty. He knows exactly who has put their faith and their trust in him. He is the preserver of our soul. It's not based upon what I do. Hallelujah. It's based upon what Christ has done for us. Can you say amen?
That'll preach, Brother David. Verse number 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. God preserves us not only from evil, but God preserves us also, the Bible says, for eternity. Not only does he keep me from the evil that may come up against me. And this evil that he's speaking here is basically in the text, as you look at the grammar, it's not so much the evil that comes up against us, it's the evil that I allow myself to participate in. And Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, a lot of times we blame the devil, and the devil had absolutely nothing to do with it. You know what? There's a person that I have just a huge problem with. And I've had a huge problem with this person for years. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. I'm going to be transparent, I'm just going to tell you. He gets on my nerves. He says bad things about me. As a matter of fact, he lives right here in this community. And sometimes I get boiling mad. I just can't stand the guy sometimes. You know who his name is? David Sampson. You know who my biggest enemy is? Sometimes it's not the devil, friend. Sometimes my biggest enemy is me. And sometimes your biggest enemy is yourself. Look in the mirror tonight. And what do you see? James says when you look into the Word of God and you see it and you read it, you know, Sunday after Sunday, we're doing this tonight. We're looking in the Word of God. But the Bible says a man that is a forgetful hearer, not a doer, he's like a guy that looks into a mirror, he beholds his face, and he walks away and forgets what manner of man he is. Can I tell you, when you look into the law of liberty here and you see what we are and who we are and where we're headed and our destination and then what God has done for us, how holy God is and how righteous God is, all of a sudden we find out, friend, listen, that guy that's giving you problems, which is yourself, you can overcome him through the blood of the Lamb. Listen, the only reason why some of you tonight are not down at the mission because you've drank your life away or because you've fornicated your life away or because you've drugged your life away, it's all because of the grace of God working in your heart and your life. God's grace grabs your heart, pulls you out of the mire, puts you in the choir. The psalmist is saying, when I am tempted, the Lord, he's my preserver. He helps me from entertaining evil. And he also is going to preserve me all the way into eternity. What a mighty God we serve, the song sings. What a mighty God you and I serve. I heard a crazy story, read a crazy story this week, and I'll share it with you. It's about a Christian missionary who was in Africa by the name of Frederick Nolan. Perhaps you've heard of him before. Frederick Nolan was there preaching the gospel and serving the Lord and doing his very best there in Africa. And he made a whole group of people from another religion very mad and very angry at him. As a matter of fact, they were so mad, they were going to take clubs and stuff and beat him to death. They had planned on martyring this man, and they started running after that missionary. And that missionary, he hit the trail, and he started running for his life. Being a little faster than the group that was there, he found his way into this valley. And as he was running through the woods in this little valley, he came upon a cave. He's absolutely exhausted. He knows it's impending death. He knows this is going to happen, but he decides to go ahead and crawl into the cave. He crawls in that cave, and he's sitting there with bated breath, and he's knowing that they're going to come around the corner any moment. And he hears the steps, and they're looking for him, and he just knows they're going to find him in that cave. There's a little time that transpired. And while it was transpiring, he looked up, and in the mouth of that cave, there was a spider. And that spider was weaving a web over the mouth of that cave. And he sat there exhausted, worried about what was going to happen. He's just fixed on that spider. And that spider actually built, the story says, this beautiful web from one side to the other that covered the entrance or the mouth of the cave. Well, all of a sudden he heard the feet coming, and he heard the pitter-patter of the enemy coming, and they were hollering out his name. They came right up to the cave. They're standing right there, and one of them said, "He's probably in that cave." And they went to run into the cave, and another one said, "Wait a minute, he's not in the cave. There's a spider web. The spider web would be broken. It would be dismantled if he's inside there. Let's not waste our time. Let's go on." And they ran away. And that's a true story. And this is what the man said later on in his life. Listen to this. He said, "Where God is, a spider's web is like a wall. Where God is not, a wall is like a spider's web." Can I tell you tonight, friend, when God is on your side, a spider's web is like a wall of protection for you. When you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are tempted, the Bible says he is there for us. It's a song for every day. The psalmist is saying that when you feel like people has abandoned you, remember God is your provider. When you feel like your enemies are attacking you, God is your protector. And when you feel like you're being tempted by the devil, remember, God is your preserver. It is a song that we can sing any day on our journey in life. It is three pillars that helps us to build a solid foundation in bringing honor and glory to God among the nations. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thank you for your great salvation. And God, we thank you, Lord, God, that you are the protector and the provider. God, you are there for us. And in the words of Nolan, we believe, Lord, that a spider's web is like a wall when we are standing with you. But Father, when we are living in disobedience, God, a wall is like a spider's web where the enemy can tear down and penetrate and move in on us quickly. Help us, God, Lord, to look to you tonight in faith. Help us to realize you're there for us. God, encourage us today. God, I know tonight perhaps there may be some folks that are here. Lord, they need the shade on their vulnerable side. Lord, you need to protect them. God, you need to hold fast their feet from falling. God, we know that you do not slumber, you do not sleep, you don't take a nap, you're always watching and waiting. So tonight, with your eyes upon us, your ears open to our cry, and your mouth ready to speak to us, Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to humble ourselves before you tonight and call upon you and teach us, Lord, what you would have us to know. Father, we believe that we will never worship right until you are known. So, Father, tonight, as we have done our very best to make you known in your glory, your splendor, your sovereignty, your majesty, your power, your might, may we worship you, Lord, aright, knowing, God, that we can't do anything in this life without you on our side. And we'll thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you meet?